He's so good. He's so good.
Nu resembava la hrakast. Dida shontrosata. Is Dee up front? Oh, I hear it, that's a big rat or something back there then. Ushatanu ko bahava soto. Seda kapava. No, I'm talking about you, Sam. Oh, la kreisereva. Oh, God, you're so good. So good, so good, so good, so good. I appreciate y'all being here today. That way we all can meet together, right? This is kind of how that works. I love y'all. Y'all are so fun. You know, we don't just get together. We actually have fun. I feel sorry for people who can't get together and have fun. I really do. It's kind of a sad thing, isn't it? They get with other people, but they don't have fun. And they leave church, they haven't had any fun. I haven't laughed yet. We've been laughing all morning. All morning. God is good. He gives us a joyful heart. He gives us joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to talk to you today. And the name of this is Let's Do It. Let's do it. Yeah. I'm going to start out by saying something that Smith Wigglesworth said one time. He was an awesome miracle worker, dynamic person. And he's going to be on with the Lord to his reward one day. So he said, great faith is the product of great fights. It's a fight of faith. There's a fight that will go on. When you're going to operate in faith, you're going to have a fight on your hands. He says, but great faith is the product. To have great faith as the product, as the end result of something, there's going to be a great fight. You know, a lot of people won't fight. Well, when they were growing up in school, they would fight. They would fight. They fought their parents. They fought everybody. Didn't mind fighting. But then when it comes to things of God, people are like, where's the fight? Where's your fight? Where's your armor? You don't need armor unless you're going to be in for a fight. And we were told that we put on the whole armor of God. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests, he said. This is Smith Wigglesworth. He's someone worth listening to. Great triumphs can only come out of great trials. Oh, brother, sister, have you been going through some trials? Have you been going through trials? Do you feel like you're being tested in some area? Well, God isn't testing you. He already knows you. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. That's right. Guess who's testing you? Yeah. Satan, he's kind of like he's poking at you. What's really there? Is this somebody I need to be afraid of or not? Right. Can I convince them of something? Is this somebody I could just twist the word just a little bit and they would believe it? Seriously. So great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. And great triumphs can only come out of great trials. Wow. You know, when people get sad, they think, well, now everything's going to be easy peasy. But, you know, the Bible never told us that. The Bible doesn't say that. I don't know where people get that idea, but it doesn't. Because the reality is, if you're in this world, there's tribulation. And it doesn't just happen to Christians. It happens to everybody, from what I can tell. I mean, tornadoes come, storms come, things happen. There's wars. There's economic upheavals. There have always been. There are crop failures. There's famines. And then some places are getting rain and plenty. And over here, they're just starving. So there's things you're going to go through. People think, well, if I get saved, I'm not going to ever have a problem again. Well, no, you just switch gears with them. You have a new set of problems that never were an issue to you before because you didn't care before. But now you're trying to learn how to love people who are hateful to you. See, some things get tweaked a little bit. Jesus comes in, not so we're just new and improved, but so that we're changed. So that you're not even who you were. You're so different. You're changed. You're just not an improved what you used to be. But that the way you think and deal and look at everything, it's shifted dramatically. You don't think the way you used to think. He comes in to change your mind so that you change your life, because now your thoughts are different. You cannot have a new life while you're always thinking the same things you've always thought. Because your life flows out of those thoughts. Look at Matthew 4. Let's do it. There's stuff we've just got to say, well, let's just do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. You may fall on your face the first 15 times you do it. Well, get back up. Go at it again. Do it. Because either you're going to learn to do it or you'll never do it your whole life ever. And sometimes learning takes time. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
So don't be upset about where you are in the process. Just be glad you're in the process at all. That means you're saved. That means you know Jesus. That means you're wanting to be more and more like him. And that's something he can honor. Yeah. Look at Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 1. We've got things to do, so we got to get busy doing it. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. That's an understatement. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered. Do you understand that he did not ignore the devil? He did not ignore the temptation. He dealt with the temptation. If you ignore a temptation, it will increase in your life. Whatever you won't deal with, it becomes bigger and stronger. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you." Now, as soon as Jesus used the word, Satan goes, "Oh yeah, he's into the word. I'm going to use some of the word. I'm going to trip him up using the word." Do you know that for years this is what's happened to Christians? Satan took the word of God, mismanaged it. People took it out of context. People don't take on the whole counsel of God. And they came up with doctrines and theories and things that have nothing to do with Genesis 1 and 2. Nothing about what God's heart was from the beginning. So the devil says, "For it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you." He's trying to tempt Jesus using the word of God. Did you know he'll do this with you too? "And in their hands they shall bear you up." In other words, God's going to cut you some slack because you're his son. I mean, that applies to everybody, but not you. You're special. You're special. He says, "Lest you dash your foot against a stone." He's going to make sure nothing happens to you, even if you disobey him. See the twist? See the twist? It's so subtle. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." He saw through that. Oh, if we could get to where we see through the temptation to what it really is. See, there's a temptation, but you've got to say, no, but what is it really? Because this is just something to get me someplace else. Deeper in trouble. He wanted Jesus to commit suicide. He tempted him with suicide. He did. Because the reason is God would not honor him disobeying him. And he would have died if he had jumped off and done that. Because he was in absolute rebellion against God at that point, and he would have sinned. Praise God, Jesus didn't sin. Aren't you so glad he didn't do that and he could see through this stuff? And then again in verse 8, he said, "The devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" Now, Satan had the power to give him to him. Satan was the god of the world at that time. He had deceived Adam and Eve. He'd stripped them of their rightful authority. So it was like he could give that. But Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him. He gave up. Praise God. Don't you want to be so full of the word of God, when the devil comes to you, you speak something to him where he just goes, "Oh, forget this," and leaves. He just leaves. Now, he'll come back later. But right then, it doesn't take long. See, do you see how fast he wears out? Just a few words. Just some of the word of God. And he leaves. At least temporarily. He can't stand when we use the word of God. He absolutely hates that. So much so, he will leave. That's good. Jesus used the word, spoke it out loud, and did not deviate from the word. He demonstrated how faith works. This is how faith works. It works by there's something that comes to you. You know what the word of God says about it. You speak and act on that word. Speaking is an action, by the way. So you have to speak the word. But now, if we believe the word of God is our answer, then we'll use the word of God. If you don't believe the word of God is your answer, you won't do it. Jesus knew the word of God was his answer. He was the word made flesh. So he knew all about the word. And he certainly knew all the law of Moses and everything he came to fulfill. He knew all these things. But he used the word of God. If you're going to defeat the devil, you're going to have to use the word of God. You can't get by with Jesus. Jesus didn't. He used the word of God. And this was a pattern so he would show us the how-to so we could do it. So you can't just hear it. You can't just read it. You actually have to do it. Nothing happens until you do it. Nothing's going to change until you do it. The devil would never have left unless he did what he did. Unless Jesus did what he did. Unless he was doing the word, the devil wouldn't have left. He wouldn't have had a reason to. Now look over in James 1. I can't get my thing to turn. I'm going to start in verse 21 in the book of James. Talking about holiness and about patience, about letting faith have its work, things having their work and time for things to work in our lives. So he says in verse 21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." In other words, he loses recall. Can't even recall. So the Bible is saying, it's not enough to hear the word. You hear it and learn it, and it's got to be implanted in you so then you can do it. You really have to spend time in the word for it to get planted in you, by the way. Because there's a scripture after scripture. You'll hear it over and over and over. There's something about hearing something over and over and over. And then you go back, you hear it over and over and over. It takes a while, but it comes by hearing. You have to hear it. And then when you speak it, your body's been hearing it. You've been hearing it. It's in your mind. It's something down in you, and now you can't get away from it. Now it becomes the first go-to and not the second or third. It's your first go-to. The word. The word will rise up. There's so many times when I have just been thinking like thoughts in myself, not necessarily praying out loud or anything. And it'll be exactly what I was thinking. God knows your thoughts. He knows where you are in your head. Yes. And he would send a verse to me out of the blue. And it's either something I needed right then or something I'm going to need. So write those things down when they come to you. He's talking to you. God is a communicator, remember? We're not just here trying to fight this out on our own. God communicates. He talks to us. He tells us things. Now go, I'm going to go back over in James chapter 1 now. Look at this. In verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Have we done that yet? Have you ever been real excited when everything's kind of falling apart? Not so much. Yeah, not so much. But he's saying, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Wow. Patience, this is how you develop patience. People go, oh, I don't like that part. Well, nobody does, but it's how you develop patience. He says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But if you can get to where you're patient, you get to a place where you don't lack one thing. When you go through stuff, if you can learn patience, you'll get to where you won't lack one thing. When you need it, it'll be there. And you'll be going about it the right way. You'll be going about it the way God intended for you to go about things. You'll be using His word. You will have learned to stand, having done all stand. This is when you've done all you do, we just keep standing. Well, when will, I don't know, you just keep standing until. If Jesus comes while you're standing, you still did the right thing. And he says, not only that, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you ask for wisdom, he said, I'll give it to you. If you're sincere, you want wisdom, I'll give it to you. That's a promise. God's word, when he says something, it's just like a promise. God's word is his bond. If you need wisdom and you're sincere about, I need wisdom in maybe a certain area. Maybe you need wisdom in finances, or you need wisdom on your job sometimes for a new project or something you've got. You can ask God for wisdom. He'll give it to you. He says, but let him ask in faith. Here's the key to receiving, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord, for he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we have to stay on course. We have to learn to stay on course. Don't get side-railed. Don't let your circumstances pull you off the path that God put you on. You know the path he's put you on. And he said, but it's so hard. Stay on the path he put you on. You're learning some patience. You don't learn patience by everything being easy. You don't have to, because then you'll never have to apply the word. You won't even learn the word. It won't even matter to you. You'll think you can just make any decision you want to and everything turn out correctly. It won't. God trains us. He trains our hands for war and our fingers for battle. God trains us to do this thing that we call life. And we live in a more abundant life. I don't want just life like everybody else has. I really don't. I really don't. I mean, you see people all the time, and they drive nice cars, all that kind of stuff, which God will give you too. But it's kind of like, but you don't have to live in the sorrow that a lot of people live in. You don't have to live with the list of regrets that people have. You can know you've been redeemed. You can know your slate was wiped clean. Your slate was wiped clean. Jesus paid for all sin for all time. And when you come to him, there's nothing on your record to disqualify you from one thing. I mean, nothing. If all your sins are forgiven, what would there be on your record to disqualify you? Nothing. Nothing. You are qualified. You don't have to wait for somebody to tell you that, who sized you up and decided about your past and all that stuff. No, just one, Jesus. He's your king. He's the one you go to. He is the one you get your approval from, not people. You got to get your approval from God. Because if it's people and they're wishy-washy and you're dependent on their approval of you, you're not going to make it. You're going to be dancing around their stuff all the time. Jesus is very consistent to his word. So you don't have to worry about what the dance is or where you're going with the dance. You don't have to worry about that. You just do what the word says. Just be a doer. Just learn to do it. Let's do it. We got to do it. Look in Matthew 6. way over to Matthew 6. Jesus said this, and this is in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was always God's heart that his will be done here. Once you're born again, you are in the kingdom of God, and he has kingdom business while you're here. You don't just have kingdom business when you get there. You have kingdom business here through Jesus Christ. Jesus came, and then he ushered in his kingdom through his death, burial, and resurrection. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, remember? He's your king. You're in a kingdom. While you're here, you're in a kingdom. In a kingdom, they have, like, the way they do things. Every kingdom, if you look in the Bible, the way they did, their customs, they all had the kind of their own way they did things. And it's like that all over the world today. Different countries, different nationalities, they don't all do everything just the same. They vary. They all eat food. They all eat and drink something. But wow, that can be very, very different depending on where you live, what you grew up with, right? But Jesus fully intended for us to be a representative of his kingdom, just like he was, while we're here. That means you got to do something. You can listen and listen and listen to the word. When do we step out and do? When do we step out and do? Y'all understand? So the whole point of learning something is so you can do it. You don't learn the word so you can brag and one-up somebody with some scripture. I've seen people do that. It's absolutely nauseating. Absolutely. Or get into debates about it and all that kind of stuff. That's just, I have no interest in that whatsoever. The whole point of learning something is so you can do it. Because unless you're doing it, you still don't know it. You're still in the process of learning. But there's nothing wrong with learning it. I mean, we're all in process of learning something new all the time. We should be. But the teachings of Jesus wasn't just some philosophical fluff. No. He taught so we could learn and then do life differently and partake while here on earth. The same type of things that they have in the kingdom in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. So he didn't want us to have sickness here. In Jesus' kingdom, he, as king, he said, I don't want sickness in my kingdom. I want people to live life without disease. I want people, there's no sin in my kingdom. I don't want people going around sinning in my kingdom. But those are not options. People treat those like they're optional. They're optional. That we don't have any responsibility in those areas at all. We wouldn't command you to do something that you couldn't do. He said, and you'll have to learn to use my word. You'll have to use my word as your go-to reference for every single thing. And everything is judged, put up next to the word of God. The word of God. Why? Because the word of God is your power. You wouldn't know Jesus apart from the word of God. The only reason you know Jesus is because the word of God prophesied about him coming, told you what he was going to be like. And you knew what he was going to be like because it was like in Genesis 1 and 2. And so, but all the people that were prophesied to about this, they missed it. Except a few. But so many, the leaders though, they missed it. They missed it. And they were working all the time trying to get themselves clean and pure before God. But God had provided a way for them to come out from that, out from under the law, into this thing we call grace. Grace means God did something for you on your best day you could never do. And then he handed it to you as a gift. He handed it to you as a gift. Here's salvation. Would you like salvation? Believe on me. Believe I did this for you. Here's your gift. The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God was eternal. It wasn't a temporary ticket. When you're born again, it's eternal. The gift of God is eternal life, eternal, forever and ever and ever. And I've said this before, I think of the problem that a lot of people have is they have been very religious, but they've never gotten born again. They've never gotten saved. they're depending on, I don't know, rituals. They're depending on some rituals of the particular denomination that they're in, whatever. Rituals won't get you saved. No, there's no ritual you can do that will get you saved. This is your heart condition. You have to believe in your heart the Lord Jesus. Confess Him as Lord. Do you know Jesus as Lord? And if you know Him as Lord, that one thought changes your whole life. Because if He's Lord, your life is going to reflect that that's true to you. You're going to line your life up with what you know He wants you to do. Never mind what your career was. Never mind. God will call people and they just say yes. They just say yes. Why? He's Lord. And to them, it's not up for debate what they're going to do or not do with their life anymore. Because Jesus called them. And they don't try to figure it all out. They just give their life to Him and say, from this point on, I'm yours. That's what salvation is. It isn't just signing a card. Demons believe Jesus is real and tremble. So you can believe there's a Jesus. You believe in Jesus. That doesn't mean you're saved. A lot of people don't understand that. It is, He becomes your Lord and your Master. He becomes your Lord and your Master. And everything you do in life has to go by His approval. And when it doesn't, you'll feel a check in your spirit. Yes, you will. You'll feel it. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He comes so that we're stay in tune with God. A lot of times people say, well, I don't hear God. What did you do with the last thing He said to you? Because see, it's like, why would he keep talking to you if you've ignored what He already told you? Well, I didn't like that. That just sounded so hard. Okay, well, there you are. So it's been hard for a long time now, hasn't it? Because you didn't move with what He said. And this just goes to trust in God, that this is not your forever life right here. It's not. This is short. Now, but the whole point of learning His word is so that we do it. That's the main thing. It's like, I've got to be a doer of the word. What was I supposed to be doing? All the commands of Jesus? Jesus gave commands. You need to go back and just do a search on the commands of Jesus. And it has to do with His teachings. His teachings were His commands, what we were supposed to be doing while we're here. And His commands will bring health, joy, prosperity, and love. This is what His life brings. If you're a Christian, you should be prospering. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. It says you'll be strengthened because of the joy of the Lord. His joy in you strengthens you. You get tired, you get weary. Jesus doesn't get tired and weary. You can pull on Him anytime you want to. And He go, okay, sure. Have some. Now look at 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. He says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You can never do anything your mind hasn't been renewed to do. Your mind has to be renewed to truth so that then you can do what that says. This is why you stay in the Word of God. The Word of God is God's way of renewing your mind. Because if you don't renew it with the Word of God, all you have is what the world has told you. And it's faulty. What the world says is not on par with God and His kingdom at all. Because the world only goes by what it can see, touch, taste, you know, feel, experience in the flesh. God's world is very different from that. You are a spirit being. Every person born, you are born with a spirit that will either live forever with God or live forever apart from God, separated from God in a place called hell. And this is just reality. And God has given us a choice, and He's given us His words of life. Jesus came. It's a historical fact. It wasn't just mentioned in the Bible. There were historians of that time period who wrote about this man named Jesus. They wrote many things about Him. So this is part of history. The only thing with Jesus is He never sinned. They never could nail Him with a sin. People tried, but it wasn't true. They couldn't do it. They tried to trip him up. They couldn't do it because he relied on the word of God. He came to fulfill the word. He was the word, and he came to fulfill it all at the same time. But it's important because he's saying, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So that tells me health and what's going on in my soul are connected. Okay? So whatever your mind is not renewed to can't be demonstrated in the natural order of things. What I mean by that, your belief, the stuff you believe has to change. The stuff you believe has to change. We're only, when you're born again, you only, when you're born in the physical realm, you are born into a world where you can taste and see everything. You can touch it. And then you know, you learn because of that. And then people say things to you. I was talking to somebody the other day how we were born into a world that wants to make you afraid. It wants to make you afraid. I'm telling you, there's a lot of money that goes into making people afraid. Why? Because you can change their behavior. Because we're so in touch with what we can see and touch and taste, those kinds of things. We're so in touch with all the natural order of things that it's easy to make somebody afraid. And we found this out. The media does it all the time, wants to make you afraid. People want to make you afraid so you'll buy their product. They'll make you afraid, you know. But my Bible tells me my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. All, everything I'm ever going to need. God said he would supply it to me. And that when you read in the scriptures, every time somebody was obeying God, he supplied what they needed. Well, there's starvation everywhere. Well, not for this person, because he was supplying what they needed. And it was more than one person. These were like several examples of people that were in very serious conditions, and God supplied what they need. My God shall supply. Is that a promise? Yes, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. In other words, God doesn't have a limited supply only. We may have a limited supply here. And I've shared the story about a minister friend of mine that did not grow up in the States, grew up in another country. And communism was predominant there. And the Christians would get together. You know, they're still getting together. Why? Because they're so desperate for Jesus, and only he can change this, their situation. Communism can't. Communism is not a good thing. And so it limits their mobility and also their resources, because the government tells you how much food you can have. And so when they want to have a get-together, they can't have like a bunch of people to their house and set a meal down for everybody. They don't have food to do that. Literally, they don't have the food to do it. Nor are they allowed to go and purchase it. And so this was in Bulgaria. And so what happened was they would have church meetings at somebody's house, but everybody would have to bring a little something. Well, nobody could bring very much because they only had enough to keep them alive, not to prosper, but to just keep them alive so they could be workers for the government. And so a person would show up with a potato. Somebody might bring a turnip, and a person maybe two small carrots or a stalk of celery, whatever. And they saw over and over and over, but the house would be packed. Why? Because Jesus is so good to people. The government wasn't, but Jesus is kind and he's good. And so the house would be packed. People would come in with their little bitty supply, and God would multiply that, and they always have leftovers in this big stew pot. But people would come in that would have four people in their family and one potato. Another family come in that got two carrots, and there's five of them. You know, or two or three. But I'm just saying it was never enough for the amount of people that were present. But as a child growing up, she saw this, that God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And there's several instances in the Bible where he did this, where Jesus did this, feeding hungry people. We see this. But it's like we see these verses, but these verses aren't there, so we go just memorize them for contest. They're there so we do them. They're there so our mind is changed, so that we think new thoughts that our world system won't think, won't be advertised. It's not for sale. You can't buy this way of thinking on the internet. God wants us to learn to do it. Just do it. Just do it. Got to learn to do it. Be a hearer of the word and do what the word says. Wow. He's freely given us everything. We also need to understand that Satan is subject to the power of God. Satan is subject to the power of God. In other words, the power of God rules. Where is that power? God gave it to you. God gave it to you. God gave it to me. He said, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. I've given it to you. How does Satan work? Your head, your thoughts. If he can, this is why the Bible says, taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Be sure you take, if it's a wrong thought, take it captive. Make it obey God. Make your thoughts obey God. Because if you listen to the devil, he'll want to put thoughts in your head and you'll be obeying his thoughts. So you have this process going on all the time as a Christian. There are thoughts in your mind, and either there's something you're going to obey that is not of God or something that is. And that's really up to you. God isn't going to keep your mind from thinking. He gave you power, and he gave you his word. This is why the word must be something you do. You can't just say, I have power over the devil, and then live all day long like you don't. Live all day long like that's not true. The least little thing, and we act like we're powerless, helpless. My goodness. You're not powerless, you're not helpless. You're a powerhouse. Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And you may be going through a trial right now. Okay. Okay. Jesus went through all kinds of things. He went through them, though. Yes. You get to the other side of it in victory. If you'll do what the word says. Y'all stand up. We always need to remember that the devil is a liar. So when he puts thoughts in your head, ultimately, it's a lie. He'll have just enough truth mixed in there with it to get you to keep listening. But at the first hint that it's not the word of God, you know it's not God. God's not going to compromise his own word. There's no compromise in God. We were on the way here this morning, and I was just thinking. And I thought, it's like some of those old Star Trek movies. Y'all ever watch Star Trek or some of those whatevers? And there was some movie, I don't remember if it was Star Trek or Enterprise, one of those space things. I don't know. I don't remember. I hadn't watched them so long. But when we used to watch them, some when the kids were little and stuff. But it was like they'd gone someplace, but they didn't know each other. Like their reality had been altered. Their reality had been altered. And so it changed like how they were relating to people and everything, because they didn't know them. They were strangers. And it was this la 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 something going on on this planet that they had landed on. And they were it was a lot of confusion. And finally somebody figured it out. I think it was Data. Finally figured it out. Or somebody figured it out that their mind had been altered. They weren't themselves. The Bible is what is truth, and what Satan says is the lie. You were born into the altered state. You believed Satan. Everything he said, you believed it. When you're born again, your whole thought process has to be re-altered to God. So when Satan comes to you with a thought, you need to know what is the real and what isn't. The real is God's word. What Satan is saying is not your reality you're supposed to be living in. Y'all understand that? And it's like, I don't know, I just kind of had that thought this morning. That's what's really going on. Like pain comes in your body and Satan will talk to you. Your world system will talk to you. Just your, the natural things. The natural things will begin to talk to you about pain or a fever or whatever it is. But that's no longer your reality as a child of God, because you're in a new kingdom where things operate differently. So if you can remember, but that's not how I operate. That's just for here. But I'm of another kingdom now, and I have authority over that stuff. I was given authority over that stuff. And you'll have to work at this, because you're so used to so many thoughts. They're on the radio, some commercials, different things come on. But Satan tries real hard to try to tell you who you are. And if you don't have the Bible as your basis for who you are, you'll buy right in. This is why I was saying the other day, when something goes haywire in your life, is your first place the Word of God? Is it your go-to place? What does the Word say? Or do you immediately default to this world system as your first place? Your first place. See? Because if there is something, God will tell you even what to do about this that was of the world system. He'll give you directions what to do. You'll understand. But you can never, ever live the Jesus life if all you do is live out of this world system. And what is common knowledge? Yeah, well, it is for the kingdom of darkness, but it's not for the kingdom of light. There's a different knowledge base we operate out of. Are you doing this? Have you set your face to operate out of the knowledge that comes from God that tells you who you are? Or is your culture, are you allowing this to still define you somehow? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your words of life. You teach us, you train us. You want us to be like you. That we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are not of the world. We don't look at everything the way the world looks at everything. We're not quick to respond to something on Facebook or whatever that we think is wrong. We're not quick. It's almost like we don't involve ourselves in so much petty stuff and then not have time for you. These are things that Christians chase. God, don't let us be chasers of the things of the world. Let us be God chasers. We chase you. We chase your word. We want to know what you have to say. Because, God, we're ready to do it. We've got to do it. And I thank you, God, with your help, your power, and with your instructions, we are well able to do this. Thank you, Jesus, how much you love us. You showed us how to do it. And then you wanted us to be turned loose to do it. So let's do it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Stephen, did you have something for this morning? Okay. Come up here while I got the mic.
Here you go. Today is the day of your salvation. You've looked to the past, and if you look to the future, but what are you doing today? What are you doing with your now? Regret will keep you frozen in the past. Fear will paint a false picture of your future. What are you doing with what you've already been given? Inaction allows life to pass you by. You have been deceived into settling for less than the abundant life. That somehow you are disqualified. That somehow you have missed your opportunity. Don't listen to those lies. You can do all things through Christ. Through his righteousness, you are qualified. You can have everything richly to enjoy. You do not have to be in lack. You do not have to live a defeated life. Change the way you see yourself. See yourself through the possibilities of a Christ-filled life. Dare to believe that what Jesus has told you is true. Walk out of your prison of complacency. Believe that you can live a victorious life.
Ooh. Yes, prison. Prison of complacency. Thank you, Mr. Gene. Thank you. He did not know what I was going to preach. This happens regularly here, pretty much every Sunday. God gives me something to preach. He doesn't know what it's going to be. He gets up, he prays, he writes it down. So I appreciate that. This is called a sign and wonder, by the way. So we have more signs and wonders that are on the way. Yeah. We'll pray for people this morning, whoever wants prayer.